Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our reflection this morning is from our gospel lesson, Matthew chapter 18. You may be seated. I'm going to first ask you to picture those occasions in our worship when we invite our youngest, smallest, and least predictable students to sing as a part of our worship setting, because that is indeed the case at 10:30 this morning. Our K-3, 4, and 5-year-olds will line the chancel steps to share a couple of the early songs they have learned this school year. And whenever that occasion happens, I rather imagine that if we could see the thought bubbles of one another, as you do in a comic strip, that it would be probably quite likely that a great many of us would have that thought bubble overhead that says, "Aren't they cute?" Or maybe you would conjure up a slightly different variation and use a term like sweet or angelic or adorable or words to that effect. And you would be correct. I mean, they are. They're adorable. And that seemingly untarnished cuteness can be a real source of joy in worship. It's the kind of thing that can just sort of lift your spirits a little bit, even if you have come in to the sanctuary that morning carrying a heavy burden. We can indeed give thanks to God for the simplicity of their song and the contagious joy of their spirit. And this lighthearted imagery appears to continue on in our gospel reading this morning. The disciples are asking a question about the kingdom of heaven. And to make his point clear, Jesus invites a child into their midst. And it's tempting to imagine the scene, to imagine that image and think, isn't that cute? Well, whether it was cute or not, I couldn't say. Perhaps so. But that was surely not the reason that there was a child among them. Jesus had a far greater purpose for his illustration. And if we listen to the words of Jesus, we hear a startling, even harsh, word of warning. And we also hear words of love and care and promise. And in our Lutheran vocabulary, we generally refer to that contrast of language as law and gospel. Jesus begins, "Unless you turn," that is to say, unless you change, "and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Well, so much for cute. Because immediately, your eternal salvation is in view. Considering whether you will or will not enter the kingdom of heaven is profound. It is of utmost importance, but it isn't cute. Jesus has a child in their midst for an entirely different reason. In this instance, Jesus isn't encouraging us to conjure up adjectives like sweet or angelic or adorable. He isn't interested in the child's appearance or demeanor. Jesus is focused on their identity. He is focused on what the fundamental aspects of being a child are. He goes on to explain, "Whoever humbles himself like this child will have stature in heaven." So let's stop there for a minute. What does it mean to humble yourself like a child? Well, first of all, it doesn't mean a return to cute. Most of us left that behind a long time ago, and it's not coming back. Jesus also does not mean a return to childishness. St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, and when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me." What then does it mean to humble yourself like a child? Consider a child's identity, not his or her appearance or even their behavior. At the heart of family life, a child is dependent. Even the government recognizes that. We call them dependents on our tax return. A child is dependent, meaning completely reliant upon the one who provides care. Children are fundamentally needy, and they should be, since they are just coming into their own in this life. They should depend on those of us who have been around for a while, those of us who have left our childish era behind and have taken on the mantle of adult life. That's the way it should work. And a child gets that. I'm hungry, I'm cold, I'm scared. All come with the implicit understanding that someone else is necessary in life to provide for all of those needs and much more. Children are unapologetically, unashamedly dependent. Now, for a time, they rightly rely on their parents for everything. It's when we get older that we begin to replace dependence with independence. There's a clear understanding in my home. No adult child will live indefinitely in my basement. We replace needy with self-reliant. And in day-to-day earthly life, that's the way it should be. But not before God. Jesus is teaching that before God, we must always recognize ourselves with the humility of childhood, to realize that we are the ones truly needy and dependent, in need of His forgiveness and dependent on God's grace. Before God, we need to shed the attitude that we are self-reliant and independent in all things. And God knows that is hard to do. So many people reject the grace of God simply because they will not adopt a childlike humility, even before the one who has given them their very life and opened up to them the way to eternal life. I've certainly heard it in response to God's call. Maybe you have too. Not interested. It's just not my thing. Well, in that case, hear once again Jesus' words, not mine. Unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus clearly means this to be an intense moment of teaching. And that intensity doesn't let up. He turns immediately to this word of warning: whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fashioned around his neck and for him to be thrown into the depths of the sea. Well, why such a sudden and stern warning? Well, first, it's important to recognize who he has in view. Yes, there is a child in their midst. But Jesus is not only referring here to children. He refers to all those who believe, those who adopt such a childlike humility before God as his little ones. It's a term of endearment and a term of identity. Anyone who humbly recognizes themselves to be dependent upon God and in need of his care stands before God as a little one with a childlike faith. And why then wouldn't God refer to us in such an endearing term? And if even that seems offensive to adult ears, then perhaps we are a long way from the true humility that Jesus describes. But for those who believe, the Savior takes a very defensive, protective posture. Jesus is saying, in effect, you dare not mess with God's children. You dare not be responsible for leading someone whose humble faith is in the Savior down a path that leads away from God. And this is not a small matter. If you are the cause of someone else falling into temptation, the Son of none other than Almighty God himself makes clear that you would be better off dead. And that is not meant to be cute or clever. Jesus' harsh words reflect the grave seriousness by which God views sin. For separation from God is truly a matter of life and death. And yet, even when Jesus' warning is so real and so dire, even here we see the love of God literally pour out of Jesus' words, teaching in even greater abundance. Why such a harsh warning? Because God's love and passion is so much greater still. I tell you, there are angels in heaven, Jesus declares, caring for the faithful. So strong is God's desire to call you one of his little ones that he has created beings in the heavenly realm to watch over you. Now, how that works, what exactly that looks like, we don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But Jesus has promised that there are angels who see the very face of God, whose attention is also on you. That is an extraordinary expression of love. And more even than that, Jesus goes on to describe the work of a faithful shepherd, the one who will leave the 99 sheep in the open country and go in search of that one stray. Why not just cut your losses, we would say, and figure that 99 are good enough? Because God's love is greater than that. Bear in mind that every one of us is that stray that Jesus has gone after to bring back into the fold. And this too isn't just meant to be a nice image about a friendly shepherd. This is Jesus teaching about the lengths to which God will go to save souls. This is the same Jesus who has already told his disciples that his passion for the flock will soon cause him to sacrifice his very life, that he is soon to die for the purpose of rescuing his little ones, for rescuing us. And there is absolutely nothing cute about the cross of crucifixion that he suffered on for your sin and for mine. But as he said, it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. There is the real intensity of Jesus' teaching, the intensity of God's love and his grace and mercy just poured out upon us in such abundance. And so as you take this word of God with you today, hear his invitation to come to him with a childlike humility. Heed his warning that God takes sin seriously, and above all, hope in the promise of Christ, for such faith will lead you toward the eternal kingdom of heaven. Amen.